This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Ex-FBI Chief James Comey back in front of GOP lawmakers shortly on Capitol Hill as Republican leaders have requested this closed-door testimony that after already questioning Comey about a decision not to prosecute Hillary Clinton for her emails earlier this month, after facing the two House committees that time, Comey said he was frustrated to be talking about the email situation again. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan says there are plenty of unanswered questions.
You can just go to last week where he said he got away with not following the rules when they interviewed Mike Flynn, got away with not actually allowing Mike Flynn to have, I think, his constitutional rights when the FBI interviewed him. And there's a host of other things that he did that just weren't consistent with how you're supposed to do things.
A Utah couple facing charges for allegedly repeatedly waterboarding their 9-year-old daughter. And this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allyn-Root, and through my longtime affiliation with the Libertarian and Republican parties, I've learned a thing or two about how politics and the economy really work. The writing's on the wall. All signs point to a major shift in investing as we know it. If you haven't started buying precious metals, you need to. Call now to order the Wayne Allyn-Root Precious Metals Investors Package, which includes 6 different silver coins from major mints around the world for only $99. Call 800-885-GOLD. That's 800-885-GOLD. That's 800-885-4653.
Look, you've heard me talking for a year about how much I love MyPillow. You can get one, too. And now it's a better deal than ever. You go to MyPillow.com, click on the Buy One, Get One Free special, use promo code USA. You'll get one free pillow when you buy one at regular price plus shipping. And don't forget, now you have until March 1st to return it if you're not absolutely in love with it. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. But do it now.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says President Trump will not be getting money for his border wall when Congress approves a budget. Schumer arguing on NBC's Meet the Press that Trump should not be using, quote, innocent workers as hostage when threatening to shut down the government if he doesn't get funding for his wall. President Trump's current lawyer weighs in on his former lawyer. Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani reacting to Michael Cohen, who's been sentenced to 3 years in prison. And here's USA Radio's Robin Walensky.
Giuliani, a guest on ABC's This Week program.
But unless you're God, this man, you will never know what the truth is. He lies to fit the situation he's in.
Cohen sentenced to 3 years in federal prison and admits he lied to Congress.
He's the guy you depend on to determine whether or not you should do it this way or that way. Whether you're Donald Trump or you're me or you.
For USA Radio News, I'm Robin Walensky.
Starting today, Tumblr is banning all adult content. And this is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Two branches of the biggest order of Catholic priests are expected to release names of priests accused of sexually abusing minors before today is over. The Midwest and Maryland branches of the Jesuits to release their lists of abusive priests dating back more than 60 years. One of those priests expected to be Donald J. O'Shaughnessy, accused of repeatedly assaulting a boy at a private Catholic school in suburban Chicago for years. Sears is paying more than $25 million in bonuses to its top executives and high-ranking employees just months after filing for bankruptcy or for bankruptcy. A federal bankruptcy court approved the company's request to pay the $25.3 million in bonuses. Sears says it will give high-level employees a financial incentive to stay with the retailer as it works to rebuild itself. And it comes as Sears is reporting losses of nearly $2 billion through the first 9 months of this year, Sears having filed for bankruptcy protection back in October. And country music legend Charlie Daniels Charity is donating $50,000 to help military veterans fighting cancer. The Journey Home Project donating the money to Nashville's Vanderbilt Ingram Cancer Center. Remember, you can find us online anytime at usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. William Hazelgrove is with us. Always good to be talking to him. National best-selling author of 10 novels, 4 works of nonfiction. His brand-new book, Wright Brothers, Wrong Story, How Wilbur Wright Solved the Problem of Man Flight. William, good to have you back with us. Always enjoy our time together, especially when we can talk about history and, you know, kind of writing the record here a bit.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, this book is the first deconstruction of the Wright brothers' myth. They were not, as we all have come to believe, two halves of the same apple. Each had a distinctive role in creating the first flying machine. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, the truth is, Bell, that Wilbur actually invented this plane. When I started to do research for the papers of Wilbur and Orville Wright, what I found out very quickly was that Wilbur, with a man named Octave Chanute, who was an aeronautical scientist in Chicago, who he contacted, they did the head-cracking physics for lift coefficients for the wings of planes, which were all wrong up to then. Mm-hmm. Orville had nothing to do with this. So Wilbur did the heavy lifting of figuring out the science first. Besides doing the practical stuff, which is this. Wilbur had a 3-year depression. His jaw was shattered by this man down the street, and he went to a 3-year depression. He merged with this vision, basically, that he wanted to fly. So what's he do? He contacts the Smithsonian. Right? He gets all the known data from them. Then he contacts the Weather Bureau, says, where's a good place to fly? Where's our winds constant? They point him to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Then he contacts Octave Chanute, the aeronautical scientist. Then he builds a plane. And then he goes down to Kitty Hawk alone.
So how does Orville get in the midst of this?
Okay, so Orville's his brother. Orville's a gifted mechanic. Right? So Orville, you know, he helps him. He does things. But Orville is really, at this point, not interested in flight at all. In fact, right, they've got a bicycle business. Orville would have been just fine if he just stayed a bike mechanic, okay? And you know, and here's another thing, too, that your listeners will probably find interesting. Orville never flew until 1902, right? So he was always sort of sitting in the background. Okay, so what happens? They had the great flight of 1903 where a photo was taken where Orville is actually the one flying for 12 seconds. Now, this photo goes around the world. So everybody says, aha, you know, Orville Wright and Wilbur Wright invented the plane. So this is sort of where this history begins to be fudged. All right, Wilbur dies in 1912. Orville lives to 1948. During that time, he gets together with a guy named Fred Kelly. Fred Kelly is a writer trying to get this biography of the Wright brothers written. Orville's very difficult to deal with. He doesn't want to do it. Charles Lindbergh gets with him, tries to get him to do it. He won't do it. Finally, in 1942, Fred Kelly gets his biography published. And what's it say? It says that they were equal partners. In fact, that Orville did did more. That Orville's name appears in the biography 500. Wilbur's is like 300. So this becomes the Bible of the Wright brother myth, and that is that these two men were equal. They talked the same, walked the same, and they both invented the plane. And it's simply not true.
Well, and I'm surprised that this didn't come out. Well, I shouldn't be surprised, because you would think that anybody who's doing any kind of investigation and trying to get the background narrative would have sensed by instinct that there were some parts of the story that should have been obvious that may be missing.
Yeah, you know, and it all began really with their father, Bishop Milton. He was this stern taskmaster who basically said to Wilbur, Orville, and their sister, now think about this. These three siblings lived at home their whole life. Nobody ever married, and they all three dropped out of high school. Bishop Milton said, the world is evil, so you have to present a united front. So it began there where, nobody gets singular credit, everybody gets plural credit. So, you know, in the early days, when Wilbur started writing letters to his father about his desire to fly, everything was, I want to fly. I want to go down to Kitty Hawk. I am building a plane. Later, this will be replaced with we.
Yes.
So, the cover-up began very, very early.
Do you think that maybe this, contributed to some of the depression that Wilbur was dealing with?
Well, here's what happened with Wilbur's depression. He was headed for Yale, believe it or not. He was 17. A guy named Oliver Crook Hall. He was, believe it or not, will later be electrocuted as a mass murderer. At this point, he's hopped up on cocaine, tooth drops, and all sorts of things. He takes the hockey stick, shatters Wilbur's jaw. And Wilbur, at this time in medical science, one malady led to another. Wilbur's mother is dying. Wilbur goes inside to the house for 3 years in this long, dark night of the soul. And he starts to read all of Milton's books. A lot of them are on animal flight, which Wilbur's belief is this, is that birds are the key to learning to fly. So one day Wilbur takes a inner tube box and he starts to flex it. And the edges flex back and forth. This is the beginning of wing warping. Wing warping are those ailerons you look out on a jetliner and see those flaps going up and down.
Right.
Wilbur believed that that's how birds turn, and that's how man's flight would go. Here's another thing. Wilbur also believed that flight was inherently unstable, okay? Unstable. There's a man named Samuel Langley who is the secretary of the Smithsonian. He's supposed to be the guy who's going to invent the plane to fly. He has $50,000 from the government. Everybody's giving him this money, said, he's the guy. Langley believes flight is stable, that it's like a locomotive. You point it, put a big engine on it, and they'll go down a track. Okay? But this is where Wilbur differs. By the way, the patent that Wilbur gets for an airplane is on the control system, not on the plane. Mm-hmm. Aileron, rudder, elevator. That's used in every jetliner today. Okay? So his control system is what he devises. Now, let's switch back to Samuel Langley. Langley's plane in 1903, the year that Wilbur and Orville will fly, Langley's plane goes down to the Potomac, just like a brick, okay, right down to the bottom. So his theories are all disproven right there.
Exactly.
And Orville only, when that first flight, Orville only flies for 12 seconds. But the second flight that nobody really talks about was Wilbur, and Wilbur flew for a full minute. Control. He had control of the plane, and this is the big difference between him and everybody else.
William, why did Orville end up in the cockpit for that first flight and not Wilbur?
Great question. Okay, on December 14th, all right, they flip a coin. Wilbur wins. Wilbur goes first on December 14th, 1903.
Mm-hmm.
But the plane now functions and goes right down. So on December 17th, it's Orville's turn, okay? Again, the plane only went up for 12 seconds. It was really a controlled crash. But there's a box camera operated by a man named John Tate. And John Tate takes this picture. And, they can't develop the picture until they get back to Dayton, Ohio. So they don't even know it exists. When they get back and develop it, that picture goes around the world saying, aha, here's the first 12 seconds of controlled flight, of powered flight. This is the beginning of human flight. Well, this set up the whole thing of a couple of things. One was that Orville was, a big player in developing this plane, and that Wilbur was standing off to the side. And it also eclipsed the second flight.
minute. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's always the old axiom, he who's there first wins, right? And that comes to be once again. We're talking with William Hazelgrove, and we've about his book, Wright Brothers, Wrong Story. And more from him right after this. Stay with us.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
And here's Mike's best offer ever. My Pillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. Makes the perfect stocking stuffer. Get your Bug Assault today and save $10 on the Bug Beam Laser Combo, only at BugAssault.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. You
hold my head. Back with you, America. William Hazelgrove continues with us. His book, Wright Brothers, Wrong Story, How Wilbur Wright Solved the Problem of Man Flight. You thought it was both brothers working in tandem, but as William found out, it was more about Wilbur than Orville. You continue with the story. So here it is. They take a picture. the 12 seconds of controlled flight, which you said was basically a controlled crash. But hey, you got a picture, and you've got the idea that people were beginning to think that this was possible, and so this added proof to the possibility, right?
Yeah, exactly. So they go along, you know, and what happens is, you know, I talked about this a little bit earlier, but this will be really fascinating to your listeners. Okay, Wilbur dies in 1912. Orville is now the keeper of the faith. He's got to say what's going to happen with the biography and who really flew. Now, during this time, he gets in a fight with the Smithsonian. Okay, what happens there is the Smithsonian says, listen, that guy Samuel Langley, we believe his plane could have flown first. It just sort of malfunctioned. So this plane's capable of flight. So Orville says to the Smithsonian, if you continue to say that, I'm going to send the 1900 flyer to London, to the London Science Museum, and have it leave America. The Smithsonian calls his bluff, and in 1928, Orville has the flyer crated up and put on a steamer and shipped to Britain, where it stays for 20 years.
So that's how it ends up in Britain, over a fight with the Smithsonian, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. Charles Lindbergh, Franklin Delano Roosevelt all plead with Orville to bring this thing back. And he says, no, not until the Smithsonian admits they lied, that they're lying about this plane. The Smithsonian's like, absolutely not. So this thing drags on and on and on, all the way up to 1942. I know this from our friend Fred Kelly, who's writing the first biography that's going to sort of fudge history here.
Right.
Fred Kelly says, you know what? I think I can solve this thing. Because, see, Orville won't let him publish the biography yet either. So he goes to the Smithsonian, Fred Kelly the writer, and says, listen, either you retract saying that Samuel Langley's plane could fly, or I'm going to publish this book and put in all the crappy stuff you've done. The Smithsonian backs off. They publish a retraction. The book gets published, and Orville writes a letter saying the flyer can come back to America, but if anybody ever says anybody else flew first, they're going to ship it back to London. So Orville then dies, and the flyer finally comes back in 1948 to the Smithsonian, a 1903 flyer, 20 years later, and they push back Charles Lindbergh's plane and put it there.
Amazing. Well, were the British very happy about losing the plane?
Well, you know, they had kind of a love-hate relationship, because think about this. Mm-hmm. The flyer was there when World War II broke out in Britain. Oh. So all these bombs are raining down from the Luftwaffe, the Air Force, the German Air Force, mm-hmm. with the very control system that the Wright brothers devised, and they're about to blow up the very first plane on Earth, okay? Mm-hmm. So what do? They take the plane, they put it underground in a town called Coventry, just outside of Britain, so it won't get destroyed during the war. And they couldn't ship it across the Atlantic back because it would have gotten sunk by the Germans, by a U-boat.
Exactly.
So for the Brits, I think they really they wanted to get rid of it, you know, and they wanted, in America, again, there was whole movement to try and get this plane back. And everybody was pleading with Orville, and Orville said, no, absolutely not. And it gets even better. When Orville dies, this letter he wrote saying finally the Smithsonian could have the 1903 flyer is held by his secretary, Mabel Beck, who he's having a secret affair with.
Right.
And she won't give up the letter.
Oh.
So she disappears, and they have to track her down and say, you've got to give us the letter. The history of human flight depends on this. She finally gives it up, and then they bring back the flyer.
Well, the authorized biography in 1943, how was that received, William?
Well, you know, everybody is treated like the Bible. Mm-hmm. Okay, because it created the Wright myth. And what is the Wright myth? The Wright myth is these two guys, you know, who became fascinated with flight when their father brought home a toy helicopter. They started a print shop. They started a bike shop. They went down to Kitty Hawk together. They had these epiphanies. They built the plane together. And voila, the plane flew. That's been the story ever since Kelly put that book, for every kid's book, every book. It has not changed. David McCullough's book came out in 2015. It was the same story. The reason I wrote this, Bill, was because I read David McCullough's book, and I thought, you know what? These guys are like sawdust characters. There's nothing real about them.
Right.
What's the real story? And that's why I wrote the book.
So as you were doing the research and you realized that your instincts were true, more true than fake news.
Right.
You know, what were you, you know, what was your response? I mean, you're thinking, oh my God, you know, I imagine the sense of peace started to come into your mind to think, okay, now I'm getting to the real story here.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know something, Bill? I started out saying, I'm just going to try and write a personal story to write about what their family was like. And their family was bizarre. Mm-hmm. And that's all in the book, too. But right. Then I started to stumble into this narrative that Wilbur invented the plane. So I called up my publisher and said, look, I'm going to change this book. I'm going to change the entire focus because I just found out that Wilbur Wright, in fact, invented this plane. And think about it.
Yeah.
Every novel, every movie, every song, there's one author. Okay, there may be people helping, there may be people doing different things, but there's one person who has a vision, has a genius.
Exactly, always one person. And I'm glad you said that, because this is the thing, that whoever is given the rite of passage or the vision to affect something, they are the one that's in control. Sometimes it gets convoluted. You always need somebody who can help administrate and
right.
come alongside, but it starts with that person who has the vision and has the passion. And as you document, Wilbur was the one time and again that was doing the research and following through with all these unique idiosyncrasies and concepts behind the idea of flying. So yes, that again proves an axiom that I've grown up with all of my life.
Yes, exactly. And here's the thing. Bishop Wright, his father, in a letter to Wilbur and Orville, actually admitted, he said, you know what? Wilbur, you have to be careful, because without you, Orville is nothing.
Mm.
If Orville had died, flight would have still occurred, okay? Because it's Wilbur. If Wilbur had died, no way it would have occurred, because Wilbur had it all in his head. He had the vision where he took what was known, and then he went to Kitty Hawk, and he realized all the data was wrong. All the lift coefficients were wrong. He went home and built a wind tunnel and came up with the correct lift coefficients that are in use today.
Exactly. Wow, that's brilliant. In 1943, Chapter 37, Washington, D.C., what was going on?
1943, right then. Okay, so the war is going on. The flyer is over, still over in Britain at this point. And again, Fred Kelly, this book is being published. He wants this book to be published, and he's saying, you know, I can solve this problem. So he contacts Wolcott, who's the secretary of the Smithsonian, and he says, we can't give up on this idea that you guys flew first, or I'm going to put this entire book out there, and it's going to ruin your reputation. And by the way, the reason the Smithsonian was so adamant about this was because they had been disgraced when Langley's plane crashed in 1903.
Yes.
They got $50,000 from the government to fly this plane, which was an enormous amount of money.
Yes.
And the thing went down like a brick.
Wow. Well, this book is the first deconstruction of the Wright brothers' myth. It is a myth, ladies and gentlemen, I know. We'll talk about Santa Claus at another time, but right now we're talking the Wright brothers, okay? So imagine two misanthropic brothers who never left home, were high school dropouts, and made a living as bicycle mechanics. They figure out the secret of man flight. This new history of the Wright brothers' monumental accomplishment focuses on their early years of trial and error at Kitty Hawk and Orville Wright's epic flight with the Smithsonian Institute and aircraft engine manufacturer Glenn Curtiss. William Hazelgrove makes a convincing case that it was Wilbur Wright who designed the first successful airplane and not Orville. Straightening out history. Boy, you're going to cause a lot of brain damage here, William.
I have. You know, right. I just had a piece come out in the Smithsonian Magazine, too.
Yes.
And, you know, that's what's interesting about this, Bill. They contacted me to write a piece about this, which I thought, wow. But why? Because they wanted the record set straight that it was Wilbur, not Orville. So it's a two-page spread in the December issue of the Smithsonian Magazine.
Well, there it is. Check it out for yourself. Meanwhile, get your hands on the book. This is fascinating. Wright Brothers, Wrong Story, How Wilbur Wright Solved the Problem of Man Flight. William Hazelgrove, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us.
Carl, thank you for having me.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. As we approach 2019, it's a good time to take stock of your financial rewards so you can maximize your earnings in the new year. International travel expert Lee Abamonte describes the tools and programs he's using that can also help you plan ahead.
Check to be sure you're enrolled in rewards programs based on the categories of spending you anticipate in 2019. Those programs for me are airline, dining, hotel, and banking rewards. For example, I plan to enroll in Bank of America Preferred Rewards, which will give me credit cards rewards bonuses of up to 75%, no fee ATM transactions, and even a discount on the mortgage fee for the home I'm planning to buy next year. For tracking my financial rewards across multiple programs, one of the newest digital tools available for Bank of America clients is My Rewards, essential dashboard that helps me maximize my earnings, redeem rewards, and access new rewards.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/preferred-rewards.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Ex-FBI Chief James Comey back in front of GOP lawmakers shortly on Capitol Hill as Republican leaders have requested this closed-door testimony. That after already questioning Comey about a decision not to prosecute Hillary Clinton for her emails earlier this month. After facing the two House committees that time, Comey said he was frustrated to be talking about the email situation again. Republican Congressman Jim Jordan says there are plenty of unanswered questions.
You can just go to last week where he said he got away with not following the rules when they interviewed Mike Flynn, got away with not actually allowing Mike Flynn to have, I think, his constitutional rights when the FBI interviewed him. And there's a host of other things that he did that just weren't consistent with how you're supposed to do things.
A Utah couple facing charges for allegedly repeatedly waterboarding their 9-year-old daughter. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All-American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment. An early termination fee at Auto Bay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here.
No matter what comes my way, I'll let my life radiate your light now, always.
Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. Fresh and independent, just the way you like us. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. We've got some great news. Kelley Blue Book is announcing the 2019 Best Buy Award winners. And we've got with us, he's back, Micah Muzio. He is the Kelley Blue Book managing editor. And we're going to talk about the results and how it can help car buyers with the next new car purchase. A little background here. After kicking the tires and running the numbers on 2019 model year cars, trucks, minivans, and SUVs, Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com expert editors recently announced the 2019 Best Buy Award winners. Kelley Blue Book's Best Buy Awards honor the top vehicles in 14 major vehicle categories, as well as Best New Model of 2019. I'm going to let Micah tell us the number one winner, the all new Micah, tell us which one it is.
The all new Volvo XC40. Yes. And if you have not seen the Volvo XC40, prepare to be charmed. My wife is charmed by it, so much that we might need to buy one.
She won't let it out of the garage, huh?
Yeah, it's such an adorable car. So it's a subcompact luxury SUV. And if that sounds like a little bit of a new segment, that's because it is. Small SUVs in the luxury segment have really come on strong.
Right.
But what we love about the XC40 is that it is charming in the ways that a Volvo are typically charming. So aesthetically, it's distinct. You walk up to it, and they have contrasting roof options, and it has just sort of a charming disposition. On the driver's side, there's this little rubberized Swedish flag that immediately lets you know, oh, this is different. This is a product of Sweden, but much like a Volvo, you would expect safety to be a priority, and it is. The Volvo XC40 features lane keeping assist and automatic emergency braking technologies as standard, and we love that safety.
Right.
And then the other thing we really like about the XC40 is the fact that in addition to being able to buy it or lease it, they also have a subscription option. Mm-hmm. So you can subscribe to your XC40 much like you would subscribe to a phone plan. So you pay a flat $650 fee per month, and that includes everything, maintenance, insurance, the car itself. And if after 12 months you want a different color, you can go down to the dealership and swap it out.
Yeah, these new Volvos, the way I look at them, they're uniquely sexy, are they not?
Yeah, there is a real visual appeal. Volvo's done a great job of distinguishing themselves in the market, and I think that's really important because there was a time when you could buy just a straight-up bad car. You could buy a car that was just going to leave you on the side of the road. That's not really the case anymore. Mm. So when you're buying a car, you know, the distinguishing traits tend to be things like aesthetic and feature set and resale value. That kind of stuff. So if you have a car that looks great, it's odds are it's going to do well in the market.
Those without doubt, that's great. Well, yeah. Micah, explain to the audience a little bit of the criteria. I mean, this is a year-long regimen for you guys, right?
It really is. Yeah, we drive essentially every car every year. You know, and at Kelley Blue Book, in addition to having access to all of these vehicles, we also have access to a ton of pricing data. That's what Kelley Blue Book built its reputation on. Mm-hmm. So we can pull in information on how these vehicles are going to fare over a 5-year ownership period, how those resale values are looking. We've got consumer reviews that we can tap into. And so we take all of that information along with our own subjective opinions, pull it together, and then we put together a list of 14 vehicles in different categories to give car shoppers a good jumping off point. Because if you haven't shopped for a car in the last 4 or 5 years, which is a pretty good average for most people, the car market has changed a lot. There's so much new stuff to consider. So we want to give people a leg up when they're jumping into that car shopping experience.
Well, when you consider there's over 300 new car models to choose from in 2019, I would think it's changed a bit, right?
It really has, yeah. So, for example, if you look in our performance car category, you might not expect to see a car from Hyundai. That doesn't sound – when I say Hyundai, your first thought isn't, oh, yeah, that's probably a performance car winner. Mm-hmm. And yet, for 2019, they've really changed the game with the introduction of the Veloster N, which is a small hatchback. It's actually really cool. I don't know if you've seen a Veloster, but it's got this asymmetrical design. So when you walk up from the driver's side, there's one door. But if you come from the passenger side, there's two doors, which is there's nothing else like it on the market. But the Veloster N is so much fun. 250 horsepower standard. There's a performance package that bumps that up to 275. But I've driven it on the street, and I've driven it at the racetrack, and it is an absolute blast to drive. And one of the most intoxicating parts of the Veloster N is the sound it makes when you lift off the throttle. It does this popping thing that sounds like a race car, like a rally car from European rally racing. You pull off and it goes pop, 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 pop. It sounds so cool. And again, you wouldn't know about this if you didn't have a great resource to help highlight vehicles that didn't exist before. This is brand new for 2019, and it's so fun.
Well, that's why we love Kelley Blue Book and all the great work you guys do. Let's talk about the other top vehicles that you discovered.
Yeah, from a practical standpoint, the Honda Pilot has returned as our midsize SUV winner. We really love it. It's just so family-friendly. In fact, I did a big family road trip up in Oregon with my parents and my wife and daughter, and it was so good in that role. Very comfortable, easy to get in and out of for my 3-year-old daughter. There's like an easy little flat spot for her to lift herself in so she can get into the back seats. And it's got this really cool cabin talk feature where you push a button and it'll amplify the driver's voice to rear seat passengers. It's a really neat thing. We had a lot of fun with that one. So we love those kinds of features.
Okay. What else you got up your sleeve?
I'll point out that there are some American cars on the list as well. We're talking a lot about Sweden and Japan and Korea, but we also have the Ford F-150 is our pickup truck winner, and the Ford Expedition is our large SUV winner. Both great choices, especially if you need to haul with a trailer. That Expedition can tow more than 8,000 pounds, so very, very capable vehicles.
Well, we're visiting with Michael Muzio. He is the managing editor for Kelley Blue Book. and going over, you know, some of the highlights of, you know, of what they rewarded this year. So what else you got for us, Micah?
Yeah, you know, the SUV segments have really expanded. So we kind of shift things a little around for around a little bit for 2019. So we added two categories, dropped a few. So we have SUV choices in a variety of sizes. I mentioned the midsize and the full size. Mm-hmm. We also have a compact SUV in the Honda CR-V, which has been a perennial favorite for Kelley Blue Book, and also a subcompact SUV, which is a really hot segment right now. We gave that award to the Hyundai Kona, which it's sort of a little bit of that Volvo distinct styling where you look at it and it's like, well, that looks like nothing else on the road. And yeah. We really love cars that make a statement, but it's also just super fun to drive, yet exquisitely practical. And we love the fact that that Hyundai Kona includes a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, which is the kind of thing that gives you real peace of mind when you make that purchase.
Can you imagine? I mean, Micah's got the best job on earth. I mean, he gets to look at, first of all, there's over 300 new car models for 2019. Then the gang gets together and they got to, you know, cut it down. Obviously, they got to, you know, bring them and make some, you know, some decisions right off the bat here. And you deal with, what, 14 major vehicle contenders then, right?
Yeah, so it really is the culmination of a year's worth of experience where we drive everything, we conduct competitive comparisons, we whittle all of that down to a the finalists that we think, you know, have some real potential to be Best Buy winners, and then over 6 weeks we drive those vehicles back to back over the same roads to see which ones really stand out, and then we take all that information and we compare that to cost data and resale value and consumer reviews. We take all that information, and that's how we get our Kelley Blue Book Best Buys on an annual basis. And it's a lot of work, but hands off my job, I'm not leaving it.
I bet. And, of course, the results are very helpful for consumers because when they go to make their next new car purchase, they've got more information than they've ever had before.
You might even say our information is fresh and independent.
I love that. I love it. I'll let you share that one, okay? All right, that's fine. Hey, where can they go for more information, Micah?
Yeah, just join us over at KellyBlueBooksKBB.com. There's a ton of great information there if you're buying or selling your car, but our Best Buys of 2019 are a really great jumping-off point if you're about to start your car shopping journey. We'd love to help out.
Well, there it is. He's the managing editor at Kelley Blue Book, Micah Muzio on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Micah.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
This report is brought to you by Amazon. Holiday shoppers, rejoice! Prime members can shop all the way up until Christmas Eve with free same-day delivery and Prime Now in select cities. Prime free same-day and one-day shipping has expanded to more than 10,000 cities and towns in the U.S. on more than 3 million items, including gifts like toys, electronics, and everything you need to enjoy the holidays. Julie Law, Amazon spokesperson.
Prime really offers the best of shopping entertainment from Amazon, and we keep working to add faster and more convenient delivery options. In fact, a majority of Prime members in the U.S. now have access to free one-day shipping or faster, which is perfect for your gifting and holiday needs.
For last-minute shoppers, Prime members in more than 30 cities can get free ultra-fast delivery with Prime Now until 11:59 p.m. on Christmas Eve. For more information or to start a 30-day free trial of Prime, visit Amazon.com/Prime.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner, 4+ years experience, acute care certification.
Indeed has a huge pool of amazing candidates and screener tools that help you find your most qualified applicants.
Whoa, an entire shortlist of unicorns.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple. And no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Hey, everybody. everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right, Proactive MD, plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95, and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here.
No matter what comes my way, I'll let my life radiate your light now, always.
Bill Martinez, live.
Just like that, we're back with you. Good to have you with us, sharing a part of your day. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, time for Bob Waliszewski, Director of Media and Culture and PluggedIn.com for Focus on the Family. Robert, how are we doing, buddy?
Hey, Bill. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
A week from today at Christmas Eve, and lots of movies out for the holiday season after a big drought.
Right, exactly.
I couldn't quite understand, but yeah.
Well, maybe they were celebrating Christmas. Well, Hanukkah or something early, I don't know, whatever. But here we got Spider-Man, the number one at the box office this past weekend. Into the Spider-Verse, huh?
Into the Spider-Verse, yes. Mm-hmm. Number one film, not a big surprise. And I'm happy to say that it was family-friendly. It's mm-hmm. nice to have something at the top of the list in the holiday season. Mm-hmm. This animated version has Peter Parker, of course, as a New York City Spider-Man. But thanks to the villain in this film, Kingpin, he's been messing with the space-time continuum. Odd things are happening. First, a young guy named Miles is bitten by a radioactive spider. The spider's from another dimension. Mm-hmm. Helps Miles be able to climb buildings. And then a dimensional rift sucks five other spider beings into our reality, and it's up to Miles to stop the villain and get the other Spideys back home. And
exactly.
Have it.
Get them out of there. We hate
get
spiders. but good fun. Go ahead.
I was just sent an email. NBC News interviewed me last week to ask me the question: Is Die Hard and Gremlins should they be on people's favorite Christmas movie list for the season? And of course I said, hey, it's not a hill I want to die on. This is not like the biggest issue of my life to talk about, but since you're asking me, I actually say no, I don't think that Christmas Day is the time that people just can't wait to watch Gremlins or Die Hard. And then I talked to this guy for about 10 minutes, and I like what he quoted. He was very fair. He says, And that extends to movies, said Bob Waliszewski, director of Focus on the Family's Plugged In website, which reviews movies and their suitability for Christian audiences. I would say for any audience, but okay, we'll go with that.
Right.
And he has a simple 3-point test for a Christmas movie designation. Quote, he's quoting me, is Christmas a significant part of the story? Is there something about the real religious meaning of the holiday in the film? And at the very least, is the picture family friendly? And then he goes on to quote me a little down further in the article. Quote, I prefer as a person of faith to have Christmas movies that tell the real meaning for Christmas, or at least impart or allude to it. To think that Die Hard or Gremlins is on the list just because there's a Christmas tree in the background makes me roll my eyes. So, anyway, just got that hot off the press. So if our listeners want to see the rest of the article, I'm sure they can Google Die Hard, My Name, and Christmas movies. I'm sure it'll come up.
Well, Bob, you know, we've got to just deal with the culture where it is right now. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, it is what it is. It decided to turn its back on God. And we wonder why they don't get the things of God. Well, you're not going to. You turn your back on God, this is what you get. You get the chaos that we have in our country. And it's kind of interesting that people that have turned their back on God go, I don't understand, you know, what can we do about this chaos? And now all of a sudden it's going to be fixed by man, when man has never been able to fix the chaos. It's always been God to do this. But as long as people continue on their stubborn ways to say they can fix it, well, this will continue. And we'll just have to, you know, be like that drowning man in the ocean that gets all the fight out of them before, you know, this culture can be rescued.
Yeah, that's very well said. Very well said.
Yeah,
maybe,
I mean, you know.
Maybe 2019, the Lord will have mercy on our nation and global people, actually, I hope and pray, and that we would begin to see glimpses of revival. And, you know, I hear, having just been in China a couple weeks ago, I've been hearing that there's pockets of great revival in China right now.
Yeah, these are in underground churches, right, Bob? These are underground churches. These are underground churches where this revival is taking place, right?
Yes.
I mean, you got to put this in perspective for people. People got to understand, in China, you can't go around and just put some cross on a corner and start having church. I mean, you do this in the middle of the night. You do it at all hours, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then in Africa, and I even heard, it's probably been about a year ago, and it surprised me, and I haven't seen any actual proof of it, but they say that in Iran, which of course is a very Muslim country, but there is some big pockets of revival in Iran. Lord help us. I mean, that would be great news to know that that's actually true. But anyways, I also ask that the Lord doesn't leave America. I know we've had more than our share of chances. We have more of our share of churches, more of our share of preachers, more of our share of Christian organizations like Focus on the Family and Christian radio and Christian television and Christian magazines. But at the same time, I just say, God, I know we've got a lot, but please, can you give us more? Just especially with the young people who have really never heard the gospel. Right. The only Jesus they know is a Jesus that's misused in a film or two that they watch. And to them, why would they want to even search after that, you know?
Exactly.
My prayer is that they would, that God-shaped hole that we all have, especially at Christmas time, would be a reminder. What's going on? What am I missing? Anyways, Lord help.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, when you consider the Christmas, like no other holiday, Bob, we celebrate. I mean, this goes on for weeks. I mean, this year it's 6 weeks of Christmas. And if, according to my son-in-law, if you actually go back to, you know, right even before Halloween in Hawaii, they already had things.
July, the Christmas.
Yeah, it all sort of comes up. But the idea is that, what does that tell you? That, first of all, we know why retail does it, because it's always a good season, and this gets them out of the red into the black because of the healthy season. I understand that in part. But the other thing is that people kind of accept it because, you know what, of all the craziness and chaos looking around, I want to have hope. And this is what Christmas does. Christmas gives people hope. And if it's not the church that is going to carry the banner of hope on this issue, you know, to your point earlier, we have churches all over the place, no question about it, And they run the entire gamut. I mean, there are churches that are prostrate. They're on their knees before God right now, being reminded of the Advent season, that Jesus is coming. And as one deacon said the other day, which I thought was really profound. I mean, he says, I find myself living on two tracks. I find myself living on one track that says, the baby Jesus is coming as a reminder, and that he did come over 2,000 years ago to bring redemption to God's creation. But the other track that I run into is that Jesus is coming again.
Yeah.
And so I run that parallel track, and I said, exactly. And the church needs to take that seriously, church of all people, because we're the ones that get it. And we got to quit being so casual about what we get and to take a stand against this stuff, not because we want to win an argument here. What we want to do is win a soul, because that's what Jesus came for. He came to win souls. That's what God is all about. He loves us so that we'll come into the kingdom, so that we won't continue to be a bunch of knuckleheads to think that our way is better than his way.
Amen. Speaking of knuckleheads and getting back to film, I want to talk about the one thing I just totally rolled my eyes with the NBC guy said, I said, I don't even remember doing that, but I'll believe him. The movie poster for the movie that came out over the weekend called Once Upon a Deadpool actually features the Deadpool character, Ryan Reynolds, and Fred Savage on the back of a reindeer that makes it look like, you know, if you really want to know the meaning of the season, here it is, folks. It's in this movie poster is advertising that this movie is really about it. Go see it to increase your holiday cheer, if you will.
Right.
And I just want to put that lie to rest big time with your listeners, Bill. Once Upon a Deadpool is actually the very extremely foul Deadpool 2, which came out earlier this year, cleaned up to a PG-13 with a few added extra scenes playing off the movie Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
When I say cleaned up, that's in quotes. I still think the MPAA raters were sound asleep during their screening. Mm-hmm. This one still deserves an R, but it did get the PG-13 rating. Sexual innuendo abounds. Allusions that are nasty abound everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's still a very violent movie. Still a very lots of language in the movie as well. And they play off that. They actually make fun of it and beat themselves, you know, continually. It's just wrong. There's mm-hmm. something wrong with it. And just to think that they regurgitated this movie out for people. And so kids especially can say, Mom, Dad, it's PG-13 now. Yeah, I know it's the same movie, but they've cleaned it up. Okay, kid, you can go. You know,
right,
no,
right.
They didn't. And it's not Christmassy in any shape of the word. So.
Well, there's plenty of Christmas family-friendly options out there, even if they're old videos. In fact, we were looking at the other day, we sat in front of It's a White Christmas with
Bing Crosby
one more time. Good fun. I mean, we just don't see movies like that anymore. But, hey, look, at least we have those in the vault and can go back and revisit them. Miracle on 34th Street, whatever, on and on. There's plenty of good options out there for the family, right?
Yeah, and Netflix, I want to just highlight three. I know we're almost out of time.
We got 5 seconds.
The Christmas Chronicles, The Princess Switch, and Christmas Prince, like them all. The last two better than the first.
Merry Christmas, Bob Walaszewski. Thank you, buddy. Take care. God bless.
My doctor makes more informed decisions prescribing my blood pressure medications based on the data I presented to him on the Smart BP app.
That's one.
Smart BP can export a colorful, detailed blood pressure report that I can bring to my doctor.
That's two.
Smart BP is easy to use and intuitive, and the features on the free version are very generous.
And that's just three of the thousands of five-star reviews of Smart BP, a new blood pressure tracking smartphone app from Evolve Medical Systems. Smart BP is the only app designed for ease of use and seamless connectivity to help manage your blood pressure and keep track of your health at your fingertips. With Smart BP, you can automatically sync your blood pressure measurements through Apple Health and Microsoft Health Vault. Connect with Apple Watch. Easily print and share detailed reports with your doctor, plus many more features. Smart BP is free and available both
on Apple and Android devices. And be sure to search the App Store for Smart Blood Pressure from Evolve Medical Systems. That's Smart BP from Evolve Medical Systems, the Smart Blood Pressure Tracker.
Hunters.